Good morning, and welcome to Myerstown Church, the Brethren, this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis, and it's good to have you with us. Some announcements before we get started this morning with our time of worship. We are praying for the folks on page 32 in our church directory this week, and as the bulletin says, the Midway Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Now, some of us know that there's no longer a Midway Church of the Brethren, but there is. The folks that chose not to leave with the South Lebanon group are still Midway Church of the Brethren. So it's a small group, but we need to keep them in prayer. And we can also be praying for the South Lebanon Church as well. And then the new church project, the Ebenezer Project Church in Lampeter, is praying for us. And, of course, the folks on the prayer list as well. Bible study tomorrow. We're coming back with the option of live Bible study here at the church at 7, or it will also be on Zoom, so you have choices with that. Also, remember this coming Saturday to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. We go to daylight savings time next weekend, so if you don't set your clock ahead, you might miss it next Sunday morning. So. Next Sunday also, 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary, Piercing Word will be presenting their musical program, Passion the Musical, 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Pew Communion, we'll be having Pew Communion on Sunday, March 28th. That's instead of Love Feast. Hopefully we'll get back to a Love Feast in the fall, but we'll be doing Pew Communion on Palm Sunday during the morning worship hour. And also, in the gathering place, there is a sign-up sheet for the Easter Sunrise Breakfast. So if you would like to participate in that breakfast, make sure you sign up on the sheet in the gathering place. Just to let you know, this morning, following worship, Dave and Janet will be greeting you out in the gathering place. I'm moderator at Lebanon Church of the Brethren, and they are voting on a new pastor this morning, so I need to go to that church and run the council meeting. So I need to leave as quickly as possible afterwards. We've come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship. Let us come into an attitude of worship.
Thank you. Thank you, Barb. That was beautiful. Good morning, everyone. It's a very exciting morning at our church. As you know, Sunday school started for the first time in a year. There was over 20 people in the group. We're starting a six-week study on the topic of transformation. Thank you to Kim Horn for leading us this morning. So please consider joining us at 9 o'clock for those that good series. If you'd all please stand as we call to worship. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Now let's together sing the hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Let us pray. Father, we know that you are all powerful, that you are sovereign, and that nothing is too difficult for you. Yet today we still struggle with worry and fear, still carrying the same burdens left over from yesterday. It's hard to shake it off, even though we are desperate to leave it fully in your hands. Please lift all the things that are weighing us down and give us the peace that only you can provide. We know that you care for whatever concerns us, and your ears are open to our prayers. We know that you understand our struggles, and you see right where we are, even on the days we feel that no one notices. Guard our hearts and minds in you today as we meditate on your words and truth. Amen. Now please enjoy as the senior choir sings, Raise Your Hands. You choir. Our first scripture this morning I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 7 to 12 and 16 to 18. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not given to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal.
Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Dear God, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you've given. Let us always remember our service to others is service to you. Help us to model our boundless love for us in our honoring of one another, and so prove to the watching world Christ has risen. Remind us how our marriages, family lives, work, and hobbies can be avenues to express the gospel to others through our Christ-like exalting lifestyles. Use our time as we gather here today to build us up and send us out for ministering to your gospel in the power of your Spirit to our broken world. We pray for our friends and families that are listed in our bulletin's prayer list. We ask that they receive the comfort and healing that only you can provide. We lift up all those that are in leadership position. May they be endowed with wisdom, strength, and justice to administer their duties in a manner that is right and pleasing in your sight. We ask your blessing on Pastor Dennis as he delivers the morning message, The Power of the Cross. Let us be receptive to the message so that we may set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are able, please stand as we sing, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace.
seated. And I invite the children to come on up and spend a little time with me here this morning. Hi again, Peyton. Can I have a seat up here today, okay? And here comes Isaiah and Abby. Very good. Have a seat. So it's really a pretty day outside today, isn't it? That sun's shining so bright. And next weekend, we move the clocks ahead, so it's going to last longer in the day, although it'll be dark when we wake up, probably. But, you know, spring's coming, right? Well, I thought about a song this morning. The bright sunshine reminded me of this song. And it's a song that you probably all know. And we're going to sing it, but I'm going to ask them to help us sing it, okay? It's a song I think they know, too. This Little Light of Mine. You know all that song, don't you? Okay? So let's try it. This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I want to read a verse for you from Matthew. Matthew's in the Bible. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light shine, okay? Let your light shine before others so they can see something, see your good works. How can we let the light of Jesus shine through us each day? You know, what are some things we can do or say to help the light of Jesus shine through us? What do you think?
I like your hair.
You like? Tell somebody you like their hair, because you weren't telling me that you like my hair. What else? Yeah, give them a compliment to somebody, right? Yeah. What about you're at school and somebody is picking on somebody else? Could you say, be kind or something like that? Be nice instead of picking on somebody. Yeah. Ask them to be good. And just be kind to people yourself, right? Be kind, be loving, have good manners, okay? All different kinds of ways we can let the light of Jesus shine through us each day. So as you go through each day, as you're at home with mom and dad, or maybe at school, or wherever you might be here at church, think about ways you can let the light of Jesus, your light, shine so that others can see it and will know Jesus and will know God because of that. Okay? Let's say a prayer together. God, thank you for each of these children. And we just pray as they grow that your light might grow in them as well and that your light might shine through them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up today.
Thank you for the children's story, Pastor Dennis, of the you have the uncanny ability of bringing each children's story to us adults also. I'm going to be reading from Galatians, which was a letter written by Paul to the churches of Galatia. Paul was a traveler. He went throughout Asia and founded churches in different areas of Asia. This one area, Galatia, is where this letter is directed. And Galatians 6, 14 to 17. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. And now we look forward to Pastor Dennis' message, the power of the cross.
Well, the Lenten sermons are focusing on the cross, and today the theme, the power of the cross. English author and theologian Michael Green has said this: "The cross of Christ is a many-splendored thing. Like a diamond, it has many facets." You know, a rough diamond doesn't sparkle like a cut stone would sparkle. You have to have those various size facets, those flat polished surfaces cut into the stone to bring out the true beauty of the diamond. And I think what Michael Green is saying here about the cross is that the beauty of the cross of Christ is revealed when its power and the power of what Christ had accomplished there becomes a present reality in the life of each and every Christian. Each one of us is to be a facet of the cross, reflecting its meaning and its power in our lives. And the story of the cross is to be re-presented in the life of every believer. And Paul describes this representing of the Christ cross in our lives in Colossians 1:24 this way. He says, it's a participating in the sufferings of Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:10, it's a sharing in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And of course, Jesus said it this way: if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, says this. He says, the cross is laid on every Christian. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion, our relationship with Christ. In other words, we become one of those facets of the cross when we surrender to Christ our self-focused lives and become a new creation in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become one of those facets when we claim the cross's power as our own. You know, throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, God's people are called to remember. And right now during Lent, we're in one of those seasons of remembering. But we're not called to remember events just for the sake of events. We're called to remember them because there's meaning and power in those events. And through the cross and Christ's crucifixion, there is power to change us and to redirect our lives. Through remembering, we represent the events of the past as part of a living story that has not yet ended, a story in which we are active participants. The power of what Jesus accomplished on the cross is as real and as active today as it was 2,000 years ago. Now, certainly there is a part of the story of the cross which was once and done for all time: our salvation. Paul says in Romans 6:10 that Christ died once to break the power of sin. And Peter in 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. And then the writer of Hebrews puts it this way: with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. For once and for all time, Christ has broken the power of sin and secured our redemption. But that was only the beginning of the story, the beginning of experiencing the power of the cross, which is represented each time another person accepts for their own the forgiveness won on the cross of Christ. That power then needs to be appropriated in our lives as we live and grow in Christ. multiple times over the years, I've taken out memberships in gyms. The first of them that I remember, at least, was Gold's Gym in Hummelstown. That one didn't work out because it was just far enough away from home that it was inconvenient. At least that was my excuse. The second was the Granada Avenue Gym in Hershey at the old high school across from the Hershey Theater. That one didn't work because, well, I just decided it was too expensive for the non-residents of Derry Township. Again, that was my excuse. The last one I had was at LA Fitness in Palmyra. I'm not sure what my excuse for that one is, because it's close to home, and the membership fee is quite reasonable, especially with that silver sneakers thing. I guess my excuse is that I would just be rather out riding my bicycle or walking, but really not in cold weather. I guess that's an excuse, isn't it? Those gym memberships don't do me any good unless I use them. And so it is with the redemption Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. It doesn't accomplish anything for us unless we claim it as our own and appropriate its power in our lives. Christ has done the work of redemption on the cross. And our present experience of the cross begins with claiming Christ's saving act for ourselves. And when we claim Christ's salvation, we become one of those facets of the cross. And what Christ did on the cross then needs to be reflected in our lives. Now, in case you've forgotten or maybe never heard, Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us how to claim that redemption in Christ as our own. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Confessing, believing. And then in Romans 6:3, he says, being joined with Jesus in baptism. It's that plan of salvation you see printed in your bulletin each Sunday morning. It's the way we begin to experience the power of the cross in our own lives. And when we make our own the salvation won by Christ on the cross, we become one of those facets, and we begin to experience that power of the cross in our lives. Christ's cross is more than just a symbol, more than just something that sits high on a church's steeple or adds to its interior decor or is worn as a piece of jewelry. For every believer, there is a cross with your name on it. Not literally, of course. At least not in the same way as the one that Jesus experienced. But hear again what Jesus said. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Taking up your own cross means, I think, taking up a way of life or an attitude like that one demonstrated by Jesus and described by Paul in Philippians 2, 1 through 5, where Paul writes, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And again he says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Came across an August 2012 article based on some research by some social scientists, Palin and Salen Kesebir, two sisters. And they investigated the use of language over the past century. They predicted that considering the well-established cultural trend in the United States towards greater individualism, that certain words would be seen less and less frequently. So they just They studied the appearance and the frequency of the use of words in books published in the 100-year period from 1901 to 2000. And they used the 5.2 million online Google Books library as their resource. And in their study, they found that over that 100-year span, there was a statistically significant decline of almost 75% in the use of words such as honesty, patience, honor, truthfulness, kindness, sincerity, courage, generosity, mercy, wisdom, humility, faithfulness, charity, humbleness, thoughtfulness, helpfulness, love, modesty, justice, gratitude, thankfulness, benevolence, purity, hospitality, and appreciation. You know, the use of words that are related to the care and concern for others are the ones that decline the most according to their study. And did you notice that a number of those words that are disappearing words are the fruits of the Spirit that Paul speaks of in Galatians 5, patience, kindness, love, gentleness, and others. It's disturbing that those kinds of words and the values they represent are disappearing. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Those words and those values, the Casebeers discovered, that were being used less and less are the values, the mind, if you will, of Jesus. These are the values to be reflected in the lives of those of us who have taken up our cross. In Galatians 6:14, Paul said, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul said, because of Christ's cross, the world had been crucified to him. See, having the same mind as Christ Jesus means living somewhat definitely counterculturally. It means crucifying or surrendering to the power of Christ's cross our interest in the ways of the world. The world has been crucified to me, is the way he said it. Taking up our cross means crucifying the world's values, which can possess our lives, especially in this self-focused culture in which we live, a culture that says you've worked so hard, you deserve it all, a materialistic culture that wants to sell us things we never knew we needed, a culture that tells us it's okay to ignore the needs and feelings of others to get ahead. In fact, that's really the only way you do get ahead. If you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you must turn from your selfish ways. If it were only as easy as it sounds, we've all been born into this culture, and it is the culture that we've come to believe as normal. You know, for myself and in my working life, I've never been without a paycheck. Kathy and I have always had a roof over our heads, food to eat, clothes to wear. We were able to provide for our children in a way that has allowed them to have a similar lifestyle. I'm sure that can be said for many of you as well. It's sometimes difficult to understand that we live a very privileged life. It's our human nature that makes it difficult for us to see ourselves as having selfish ways. It's difficult to crucify our interest in the world when we're so much a part of the world. And what does Paul really mean, anyhow, to crucify my interest in the world? I think it comes back to an attitude. The attitude and mindset of Jesus that Paul talked about there in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're following the way of the cross, that's what we do. And in the world, sometimes that has consequences. And while Paul said that his interest in the world had been crucified in the cross, he went on to say that the world's interest in him has also died. In verse 17, he adds, I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. And for Paul, those were physical scars from lashings and imprisonment. When we take up our cross, when we live those countercultural values of Jesus, we may find that the world's interest in us also might die. We may find ourselves bearing some scars because we belong to Jesus. Earlier, I quoted from 2 Corinthians 4:10 and Colossians 1:4, where Paul speaks of sharing in the death of Jesus and participating in the sufferings of Christ. You know, our brothers and sisters in the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria know what those words mean in a very, very real way. And the situation there has not changed over the years. Most recently, the EYN staff reported that on Christmas Eve 2020, three churches were set ablaze, five people killed, and five people missing in a Boko Haram attack. And according to church officials, the attackers invaded Garkida on Christmas Eve, burning several churches, including EYN Gung and EYN Sanger and Living Faith Church in Garkida. And many church members spent Christmas Eve in the bush hiding, and some of their homes were also burned. And in another attack on the village of Pemi, that was also stormed by Boko Haram, seven people were killed. The EYN church and houses were burned, and one pastor, Bulus Yakura, was abducted. And the officials report that the attacks are coming almost on a daily basis, so I'm sure they've continued as well in different ways, with killings, kidnapping, and destruction of properties. These Nigerian brethren know in a very real way what it means to share in the sufferings of Christ and to share in the death of Jesus. They bear some scars for their commitment to Jesus. And while we might not experience the physical suffering and death our Nigerian brothers and sisters are experiencing, by taking up our cross, there are very real ways that the world's interest in us might also die. Just to identify yourself as a Christian causes many people to react negatively. And there are reasons why that has happened over the last decade or so, and including things like child abuse and sex scandals that have been linked to some leaders in the church, and also to culturally unpopular positions taken by churches on social issues. Personally, my experience is that if I tell someone in the seat next to me on an airplane that I'm a pastor, the conversation either ends very abruptly or it takes a 180-degree turn to something more socially acceptable, like the weather. There are consequences to taking up your cross. Do you bear any scars that show you belong to Jesus? They might not be physical scars like Paul's. More likely for us, those scars will be things like possible rejection by some people, loss of some friends, or even some broken family relationships, all reflecting ways in which the world's interest in us dies. When you take up your cross, some choices that you make won't make sense to others. Choices about where you go and what you do or who you spend time with. Your faith might impact your career choices and opportunities. People may accuse you of being judgmental or hypocritical when you stand for Christian principles. Taking up the cross will have consequences. It's a real possibility you'll bear some scars for doing it. But what really counts, Paul says, what really makes us facets of Christ's cross is transformation, or as he says, new creation is everything. New creation in Christ is everything. Some of you football fans know about the NFL Pro Bowl game. This year, because of COVID, it was canceled, but it's over the years been in the news. And if you ever watched it, it's always been one of the most boring football games you ever watched. because of the lackluster performance of some of the so-called star players who were chosen to participate in the game. The best players supposedly are chosen. The two teams wear similar colored jerseys, maybe blue for the NFL and white for the AFL, but each player wears the helmet of their contracted team. And while it might be an honor to be chosen, it really becomes obvious that their loyalty is not to the team they're playing for there in the Pro Bowl, but rather to the team that's paying them the big contracts. And so when they play in that Pro Bowl game, the players don't always put as much effort into the game because they don't want to get hurt or mess up that valuable contract they have. Are we ever like those NFL players in the Pro Bowl game? We wear a jersey that says Christian. We wear a helmet that identifies us with another team, links us to the world's team. Our loyalties are divided, world or Christ. But Jesus wants us to be all in. What counts, Paul says, is whether we have been transformed into a new creation, whether the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In the garden on the night he was betrayed, twice Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Jesus exemplified self-denial and cross-bearing. It's by following his example of self-denial, taking up our cross, and living by the power of his cross that we're transformed into a new creation and represent the power of the cross in our lives and to the world around us, and we become a facet of the cross. Have you ever watched one of those extreme makeover shows on TV? Well, what's important in our Christian walk is having that extreme makeover, being made into that new creation in Christ, finding our identity in Christ, accepting as our own his work on the cross, turning from our selfish ways, accepting that real life isn't as the world sees it, but is found in living for Christ and for others. It involves a mindset that says, "I'm okay with not being like the rest of the world. I'm okay with others not seeing me like God sees me. But at the same time, I hope and pray that others can see Christ in me." We become that new creation when we've been freed from our self-centeredness and can say without hesitation, "Your will be done." When I can say, "God, I don't understand why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing. I don't know why you've led me to this person or to this situation. I know I don't see what you see, but I trust you. You've got my total loyalty. Not what I want, but what you want." It's not something that we really can do on our own. It's totally counter to our human nature. We only get to that point by the power of the cross, which is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. One of my favorite TV shows from several years ago was the spy comedy Chuck, starring Zachary Levi. Maybe some of you have seen it. Levi plays the role of an average guy whose life gets turned upside down when he suddenly finds himself becoming a government spy because he opened an email that was encoded with government secrets that somehow got downloaded into his brain. It's TV, so you know something like that can happen, right? But he says that's not so much different than suddenly becoming the star of a TV show and struggling with that newfound status. But despite his celebrity status and its unique pressures and temptations, in real life, Zachary Levi is grounded in his Christian faith, his family, and in an intimate church community, which is not something easily found in Hollywood. The key to dealing with this, he says this way, is to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit in whatever you say and do. If you're someone who puts your faith in Jesus, then just trust him in being led. To me, he says, it's not rocket science. Go about your day putting your faith in God and standing on truth. It's pretty easy. Are you a jerk or not? Are you doing things that benefit you or others? Are you available to be part of the solution and not the problem? walk in love, and that opens doors of dialogue. How about just starting to talk and see where it goes? I don't think there's any clock on it. Your life is God's, so let him do as he wills with it. I think what he's describing is this representing the power of the cross in our lives, of having that same mind as Christ Jesus. As Michael Green said, the cross of Christ is a many-splendored thing. Like a diamond, it has many shining facets. And each one of those facets reflects a unique aspect of its glory and its power. And you and I are each one of those facets. When we take up our cross and surrender to its power, when we surrender to the Holy Spirit's power in our lives and let God do with us as he wills. So may our prayer be like Paul's. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Being a new creation in Christ is everything. And it's not as difficult as we might think. Zachary Levi has a point. Your life is God's, so let him do as he wills with it. That's living in the power of the cross. It's a mindset that says, not my way, but your way. Let us each be one of those shining facets of Christ's cross. We're going to stand and sing together the hymn, Jesus, I Come. If you've never made that decision to accept Christ into your heart and to live in his example, I invite you to make that choice today. I'll be available here up front, and I can pray with you if you want to come forward as we sing.
Out of the fear and dread of the
go now in the power of the cross, realizing that salvation that you have in Christ, and then living in God's will each and every day, and go in Christ's peace. Amen.